I'm James Harkness. I'm an NDIS participant with lived experience of schizoaffective disorder, autism, and ADHD. I'm a graduate of Audio Ability, a national radio training program at the Community Media Training Organisation. The question I'm interested in is, why has the NDIS banned participants from using our funding for sexual services? What does that say about who gets to access intimacy and who doesn't? I recently spoke with Kai Silva, a full-time Melbourne-based sex worker who identifies as gender diverse and uses they/them pronouns. Kai migrated from Sweden, where sex work is criminalised under the Nordic model.
I came down here from Sweden about 16 years ago, which sex work is completely illegal, where we have the Nordic model. So it's a very big change from here to come here with where it's legal.
Kai spoke about how sex work can create space for healing and transformation, especially for clients with disabilities.
We explore their bodies and overcome so many issues and troubled past experiences, and just see them going from never experienced consensual sex to becoming a proud ethical slut. And it's amazing.
So what Kai's saying here is that sex work for them isn't just about physical service. It's about building connection, especially with clients who may never have had a safe, consensual, affirming sexual experience before. And their work shows that when legal and destigmatized, sex work can be a career rooted in care, healing, and transformation. Pixie Fern is a full-service escort and content creator with over 7 years in the industry. Pixie also lives with autism and ADHD and identifies as a disabled sex worker.
I'm also a disabled sex worker. Saying that out loud comes with lots of, I guess, weight behind it, because I have been gaslit quite a lot in my disability. It seems invisible and I seem very functioning looking at me, but it's one of the reasons I found sex work so comforting as an industry to step into for my career, because it really is saturated on the worker side by a lot of neurodivergent people, a lot of invisible disabilities, lots of people that struggle with chronic pain, chronic illnesses, and yeah, there's a lot to chat about there, I think.
Pixie highlights something powerful here. Not only are many sex workers themselves disabled, but the sex industry can actually offer a kind of flexibility and acceptance that traditional jobs don't. For Pixie, working with disabled clients is not separate from her lived experience. It's deeply connected. The job has helped her understand her own neurodivergence, and she sees it as a space where disabled people support and heal each other. Stigma. Whether it's religious shame, lack of sex education, or middle-class moralism, Kai and Pixie acknowledge how deeply society struggles to accept sexual labour.
We don't really talk about sex, so people don't understand that job and the view we have from movies and religion and all kinds of stuff. It really contorts and changes the perception from what it should be and could be, instead of living in this lack of sex education, where it's all cultural and socially been stigmatized because of their lack of with their shame and fear around sex and intimacy.
I've wanted to be a sex worker since I was a teenager, maybe younger. I didn't have the term for it before then. When I came out as a sex worker to my mum, she burst into tears. I was really excited to tell her, because she came to stay in Australia with me and I wanted to show her my life. There's a massive piece there around the fact that in Australia it is decriminalised. That's happened since I started sex work.
Kai and Pixie make clear that stigma around sex work is not accidental. It's rooted in cultural shame, religious conservatism, and fear. and for disabled people in particular, that stigma can be doubled. We're told not only that our bodies are undesirable, but also that we shouldn't even want pleasure in the first place. This erasure is political and deeply harmful. In October 2024, the NDIS formally stopped allowing funds to be used for sex worker services. This has had a major impact on clients, especially those on the disability support pension.
I've had a lot more before this ban came out. It was doing really well and it's been really dead since. It's such a big need because I feel like intimacy is, it's like a human right. Anyone should be able to find a partner and have someone touch you.
It's utterly devastating. I've had a lot of people reaching out trying to see if there's a loophole, and I've had to be really honest and say, I wish I could see you. I wish I could offer you this service for $10, but that's when you start, you know, crossing your own work boundaries and burning out. And, you know, the more spread thin I am, the less work I can do in the grand scheme of things. So
the recent NDIS decision isn't just an administrative change. It's a gut punch to people who rely on these services for touch, connection, and intimacy. Kai has already seen the drop in disabled clients. Pixie hears from people who want to book her but now can't afford to. The ban doesn't just deny services, it sends a message that intimacy isn't something disabled people are allowed to need. So let me ask you, the listener, why is intimacy considered less legitimate than physio? Why is touch seen as a luxury for some, but not for others? Disabled people deserve more than basic survival. We deserve agency, connection, and joy.
I just hope that in my lifetime we get to a point where sex work is suggested much like therapy or seeing a GP.
You climb a mountain for a view, or you eat all kinds of food and fill your bodies with all kinds of intoxications, but somehow we aren't allowed to enjoy our physical intimacy and our own bodies. So I think you should embrace your body and what's possible and see a sex worker for both healing, intimacy, exploration and companionship, and to find more pleasure and create the life you deserve.
As we wrap up, both guests leave us with a powerful message. Intimacy is not a luxury. It's not indulgent. It's essential. Whether you're climbing a mountain, dancing, eating, or making love, pleasure is part of being alive. And sex workers like Kai and Pixie are part of that aliveness. What they're asking for is simple: the right to do their work safely, and the right for disabled people to access that work with dignity and choice. Thanks for listening, and if this story resonates with you, I hope you'll support it. Let's start having the conversations that matter. I'm James Harkness. See you next time.